You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, we have a show that up until about like a few hours ago was a pretty boring, nonchalant. We weren't really sure what we were going to talk about, but now it's like crammed. You ready for this?
Yeah, we got a lot to discuss today, Anthony. That's what happens when Ramona Shelburne drops a story on Luol Deng basically asking out, like on the record. Like this is not like anonymous sources close to the situation say that the Lakers were talking about trading Deng. Well, I mean there were anonymous sources that confirmed it, but then like Luol Deng has just basically come out and said that his direct quote, "It definitely hurts. The only answer for me is to prove myself away from LA. I'm not asked to play. I'm not in the rotation, so I can't prove myself here." Damn. Like, yeah. Yeah. So as always, you can find the show on iTunes, Panoply, Megaphone, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, TuneIn. What else am I missing? Spotify, Alexa.
Lakers Nation and Lakers Outsiders.
Yeah. Okay. So you can find the show in all those places. And on this show, we're going to talk about Luol Deng's trade demand, and we're going to talk about everybody's favorite cartoon character, LeVar Ball. And I think that'll probably – we have a 50 Shades of Shade return briefly for the end. But first, Anthony, let's talk about Luol Deng.
All right. According to Ramona Shelburne, it sounds like the Lakers have already started. They've done some background work to see what options are out there.
You don't say.
but it terrifies me that they're this optimistic about what, because it tells me if they're this optimistic that they're willing to go out there and put on the record to anybody that they think that they can get this done, then it tells me they're willing to do some things to get rid of Luol Deng that people aren't going to be particularly thrilled about them doing.
Well, so the thing is like the way that she phrases it, she said a Lakers source confirmed that the team has met with him to discuss a solution. So that, to me, that doesn't scream optimism, either, because they say via either trade or buyout that would allow him to play more. So, I mean, that means that, yeah, sure, like they've met with them to talk about that stuff, but I'm sure that meeting went something like this. So, yeah, you know, your client is like not good. So it's going to be kind of hard to trade him. Actually, if it's Rob Pelinka, it's probably something like, what's this agent's name? Jeff. So Luol has one of the single largest contracts in the NBA. It is amazing. It is amazing how much Luol is being paid. And it is one of the single worst contracts in NBA history. And it is going to be incredibly difficult for me and Magic to deal this contract. And Jeff is like, Rob, usually you're so positive. This contract is the bane of my existence. It is the only thing that I cannot be positive about. It is the mana from heaven that I needed of negativity.
And he would definitely give props to, is it Jeff Schwartz? Is that the,
yeah, Jeff Austin.
He would definitely give kudos to Jeff Austin about look, you did a great job. You negotiated a great agent contract. I'm a little concerned that you might have threatened Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss's family, but other than that, you did a phenomenal job in getting this contract for your client. We are going to try to make this work for everybody involved. But I just have to 100% reiterate for the 100th time, and I've just said 102 straight sentences, I don't think I can do anything for you.
Jeff, the way that you swindled Mitch Kupchak, you know, I'm a storyteller, Jeff, and so I'm going to tell you a story about Kobe, as you guys are used to me doing. And the way that you swindled them for this contract reminds me of a time when me and my best friend Kobe Bryant, who I personally know, went to the Lakers and we just asked for a contract extension and they just gave us the max. This is a very similar situation with a player who was nowhere near as good and nowhere near as beloved. And so this is like unfortunate, but it's going to be hard to move him.
I'm looking at like different scenarios that maybe Deng can get moved on. And I'm telling you right now, there are like none.
They don't exist.
Unless the Lakers are perfectly happy moving in Ingram, you know, who is only making $5.5 million and isn't about to get paid and is playing significantly better than I think even he would have predicted.
Playing like actual good NBA basketball.
Yeah. So like, unless they're willing to do that kind of thing, there are no scenarios here where Luol Deng gets traded for anything really. And for everybody who are saying, well, they could just attach Julius Randle to it. One, Julius Randle is playing really freaking well, so you don't want to just get rid of a contract like that when you don't absolutely have to right now. And two,
Julius Randle is playing really well, so another team knows that they'll have to pay him, and I don't think that they're going to pay Luol Deng for the right to pay Julius Randle.
Right, because at the end of after you make that trade, you would probably say that Randle's probably going to get paid about $12 to $15 million next year,
at least.
So you're asking another team to take on roughly $32 million in salary over the next 3/4 years, because Randall's contract is going to get him it's going to be a 4-year deal. And so you're asking a team, hey, please send us no contracts in return because we're trying to clear out cap space. Give us no return money. And maybe if you could attach any kind of asset so that we can save face here the way we saved face with Brook Lopez, then let's try to make this happen. And I'm telling you right now, those deals are not out there to be made. There aren't very many large expiring contracts out there like Brook Lopez that make sense for both teams to make this work. So the Lakers are going to have to be brutally honest with themselves and say, how important is this? Do we want to just eat a 2-year, whatever, the remaining 3 years?
2 years after this year.
Right. Do we just want to eat that salary? They probably don't. Do we want to stretch him into oblivion? They probably would like to, but they can't really, because that doesn't really do anything for you. Are you okay with dealing with a malcontent veteran over the next at least few months and maybe into the foreseeable future? It doesn't sound like they are. So it's cool that they've had this conversation and hopefully they're on the same page with Luol, but everybody involved has to recognize this is not an ideal scenario for moving somebody. And look, some of it does kind of fall back on Luke for never using Luol Deng at his best position. And teams out there, like you would have to convince like a Houston, or you would have to convince a Clippers to say, hey, look, he's actually pretty good when he plays the four. If you need a wing/four, then he makes sense for you. But, I mean, good luck trying to make that case and being able to last an entire phone conversation to do so.
With a straight face. I want to talk a little bit more about this and other stuff, but let's just stop for a second. So, yeah, so like I agree with everything that you said. I think, to be fair to Luke, the roster constraints are more of what's not allowing Luol Deng to play his natural position as much as anything else. It just wouldn't make sense from like a development perspective to bench those young guys and play Deng at the four just to get the most out of him, because he's never going to play well enough that contract looks palatable, that teams are going to want to move it without you having to give up an asset. So I think that's just roster realities more so than anything Luke's doing.
I'm looking again. I'm always on the trade machine, and anytime possibly trading Luol Deng happens to go into the conversation across Lakers Twitter, I'll jump on there and just see what I can put together. And I'm telling you, like I'm looking at the Bulls scenario here. Maybe you can trade for Nikola Mirotic after his face heals one, and after he can actually be traded. And it looks like not until January 15th. That he can be traded. So maybe you're hoping for Robin Lopez for Mirotic, Deng and Randle for Mirotic and Robin Lopez. Maybe Chicago takes that, but that's going to be asking a lot. And neither Lopez or Mirotic are expiring contracts, which is something that the Lakers are looking at. We could go back to the Brooklyn well, but again, they spent a they took on Mozgov's contract and they took on Alan Crabb's contract. And
they want to assemble all the bad contracts.
Yeah, they don't have it.
The Ponzi scheme.
They're even though they just took on another owner who is worth all kinds of money, that is not how you clean up anything. And look, Randall is really good, but you have to convince Brooklyn to send you back a so Trevor Booker has a 9.125 expiring deal. So you're hoping that you send over Deng and again Randall in this case, or maybe Nance because he's cheaper. But you go, we'll go with Nance. So we'll go Deng and Nance for Trevor Booker, and you probably have to take on, say, Jeremy Lin's contract. And you know that if you do that, you're going to be accepting a player who can't play for the rest of this year. So you're hoping that he comes back fully healthy and you can maybe trade him next year when you have to open up that money. That trade is successful on the trade machine. But again, why would Brooklyn do that? Larry Nance Jr. isn't good enough to just take on Luol Deng. Julius Randle, because they're taking on Luol Deng's contract to go with the other ones that they acquired over the course of last offseason, they aren't going to be able to pay Randle and pay out all of the crazy deals that they assumed as they tried to acquire any young talent that they could. So there aren't very many scenarios out there. And again, it's too bad because Deng has been very professional to this point. But I just don't see a scenario where you can get rid of this guy and have another team agree to take him on because his contract is just that abysmal.
No, I think the fact that they've discussed a buyout, I think it's going to have to be a buyout. And I think the Lakers are probably going to hold kind of firm and try to get him to take like significantly less. And so this may not be something that's resolved immediately. And I'm going to say this, and then they're going to announce a buyout like 5 minutes after we drop the podcast.
Absolutely.
But I think that's really the most likely option. It's hard it, for all the reasons that you said about the young players being too good for the Lakers to give up on, and you know, like, and Deng's contract being so bad that teams aren't going to take him on without something like that as a sweetener. I just think a buyout or a stretch is really the only option.
And again, it comes back to the Russell trade, which I know everybody gets really sick of me talking
God.
About.
Take a drink. Anthony brought up D'Angelo.
But they set the precedent there. That they as soon as they were willing to attach D'Angelo Russell to Timofey Mozgov's contract in order to move it, teams at this point are going to be saying, all right, fine, but you got to do the same thing with Brandon Ingram now. And the Lakers, from all reports and from everything Magic has said, that doesn't sound like something they want to do. But if they really believe that they can acquire both LeBron James and Paul George this coming summer, and the only way to make that happen is to do that, then I'm not sure. I'm not sure there are a bunch of Laker fans sitting out there all that comfortable thinking to themselves they won't pull the trigger on that kind of deal, because that, at the end of the day, is their grand scheme, is do whatever they have to acquire LeBron, Paul George, and maybe another max kind of guy next offseason. And if Ingram is what you have to sacrifice to do that, I don't know if I've seen enough from Magic and Pelinka to say that they won't do that kind of thing.
I just the fact that they've talked him up so much is untradeable. I mean, yeah, sure, maybe they're trying to build leverage, maybe they're trying to build his ego, but I don't know. They haven't given us a whole lot of reason, I think, to think that they'll trade Ingram. They just never embraced Russell publicly like they have with Ingram. And I think that, in, you know, hindsight being 2020, is almost a sign of they were willing to give up on him. And he was a guy that was very gettable, in addition to kind of all the, like, you know, you'd hear stuff from like Lakers people like that, you know, like he was not the easiest to get along with. And like, people just don't talk like that about Ingram. And Magic and Pelinka clearly love him. And I don't know that there's reason to worry about them actually making a deal like that.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And I would probably, if I had a gun to my head, I would probably say they don't move Ingram to do that. It's just, you know, if you start seeing those reports out there from other teams who are trying to get the Lakers to bite on the bait, then we'll see how the reports go over, not just in our little bubble of Lakers Twitter, but with everybody out there, with the way reporters talk about the possibility, you can tend to glean a lot from that, depending on the report. Let's move on really quickly to the other bit of news. I say news. I'm doing air quotes as I say that. On the other side of this quick reprieve. All right. So, Luol Deng and all that stuff aside, that is going to be something to keep an eye on. Like you said, with our luck, we will probably find out as soon as the podcast goes live tonight that they did buy out Luol Deng and he is going to be a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves or something like that. But in terms of the actual basketball team and people ruffling feathers, LeVar Ball was at it again. Do you have the quote in front of you?
Because I am super well prepared, I definitely have it right in front of me, and I'm not filibustering while I pull it up. LeVar said about Lonzo, you've got to shoot the ball. He told Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. He said, you've got to shoot the ball. You're not going to make it if you don't take it, about Lonzo's kind of shot selection. So that's fine, right? Like, no big deal. And then he got into Luke Walton's rotations a little bit, and he said, let him play the whole fourth quarter and bet you'll always win. He'll get into a better flow, Ball said. The in and out, sitting out 6 to 10 minutes, he's not going to take no shots because he's not in the flow. He don't want to hurt the team by shooting. So head coach LeVar Ball has solved the problem, and the Lakers just need to never sit Lonzo Ball. I think we figured it out.
I mean, sure, why not?
This was the kind of stuff that during the summer, like, people got mad. They're like, oh, LeVar never says anything about the coach. He's not going to do that in the NBA. He just wants Lonzo to get him to the Lakers. And this is the kind of stuff that, like, you know, before the draft, it was a little bit like, I don't know. Like, maybe he's going to cause some problems. And so, you know, I don't know.
If you were the Lakers, would you maybe sit LeVar down and be like, hey, you can't crap on...
I mean, he's an adult man. Like, they can't do anything. He's like the father of one of their players. It's like David Locke is not going to go to and sit down my dad because he doesn't like something that, like, I'm saying that my dad said about the Locked On Podcast Network, you know?
It depends on what your dad says about it, though, doesn't it? Like, if he... So, before
For one,
Lonzo...
my dad says that it's the greatest podcast network of all time, and he's very proud of me.
Don't get fired. But, like, if you're before Lonzo showed up and before Ingram showed up, who was the face of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Kobe.
Well, I don't think that very much works, right? Kobe was gone before Ingram showed up. But it was Luke Walton. Like, he was the guy who everybody pointed at when people kept on saying, hey, the Lakers can't sign their guy. He was their first marquee free agent signing in a long time, and he is still regarded insanely highly by the organization by all accounts, and he's the only guy who I would probably say is about as safe as anybody across the entire Lakers roster. And you can't have the father or any kind of family member, especially a father who continues to get a platform. Like, why are we still talking to this guy after freaking games, especially after a win? Like, I don't need to hear from him after a win like that. But you have...
I mean, this is going to be all year. People are going to go talk to him after every game, and they're going to want his opinions and thoughts on all this stuff. Like, it's just that's how it is. He's a good quote, and that's just how the media works.
Hashtag journalism.
Journalismism, I think.
Yeah. I don't think he should have a platform at all. But so long as he does,
you gotta understand from the other side, like, the journalist's interest is not the best interest of the team. It's like, not to like what's gonna help the team and like all that stuff. It's like, what's the best story? What are people interested in? Like,
yeah.
You know, people are interested in what he says. Metrics bear it out. People care about what this dude...
It'll be interesting to see, now that he has taken that next step and did crap on Luke.
Can we get like Luke to go back at him in the next press conference? Start a Luke LeVar press conference feud?
What I think will be interesting to watch will be fans' reaction to this. Is this going to be that first domino that makes people say, like, stop talking to this guy? Because... Again,
I mean, there are going to be some fans that say that. I would argue, as long as the clicks and interests keep flowing, I don't think that it's going to stop anyone from talking to him.
And that's a larger conversation that is part of the reason why we are where we are politically.
Yeah, I mean, people are people are interested in what he has to say. That's all I can say. Like,
I think we're going to start seeing, like, I think it wouldn't shock me at all if this was the first domino that made people start saying, like, all right, enough, go away.
Maybe. I doubt it.
And look, I mean, you're seeing it. When you tweeted out your, I went through the mentions because I was interested to see what the reaction was going to be. And there were people kind of kind of going back at you a little bit, right?
Basically, Twitter is not representative of like people.
I know, but I'm saying that for a long time there was you didn't see it to the extent.
And there were always those people. I promise you,
to the extent that I'm seeing it, right? Like throughout when I retweeted it and I said that the Lakers should shut this guy up, there were a ton of people agreeing with me, and that wasn't the case because what he was saying wasn't really that important, right? Because what he was saying wasn't potentially damaging, but if he is going to go out there and again crap on the coach, who is as safe as any coach throughout the entire NBA, then at some point I think he will be, you know, kind of coached a little bit as far as saying, look, you can say anything you want about Lonzo. You can talk about any of the players around the NBA and how Lonzo is Steph with a better jumper and longer. Like that, you can say all of that madness that you want, but you leave the names of players and coaches on this team out of your mouth. And they would be right to do that. I mean, from a PR standpoint, I think it would be a smart move if their people sat down, if Magic sat that guy down and said, hey, look, I'm fine with you saying whatever madness that continues to generate interest in your big baller brand. Like, that's fine. That's your business venture, and it's working out for you so far. But so long as soon as you cross that line and you jump into talking about guys that Lonzo has to see on a day in, day out basis, that's when you're becoming an issue. Yeah, that's where you're becoming.
That's going to be the kind of thing where I think it would have to be Lonzo that would address him, because like that, it's not the Lakers. Like, it's not really their place.
Yeah,
like,
but I think it's Lonzo also would hard have to expect say, this a 20-year-old is creating an awkward kid
dynamic.
To do that.
I think Lonzo would have to say, this is creating an awkward dynamic for me. Can you please stop?
Yeah. But I also think, though, that that's a lot to ask of a 20-year-old kid to tell his dad, like, hey, stop. Like, that's always my issue when people hate Lonzo because of LeVar on the internet. Like, what do you expect of the kid? He's not. It's hard for a kid to go out there and tell your dad to shut up. But if this is in the interest of the entire actual organization that LeVar doesn't say this kind of stuff anymore, then I don't think it would be wrong of the Lakers to kind of say, hey, cool it a little bit on this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like, realistically, there's nothing they can do.
They can talk to him.
I mean, they could talk to him, but yeah. Like, I mean, they can't do anything to him.
No, I'm just telling you that they can. It's a conversation they can have.
I mean, they could. I would not anticipate that.
Yeah, I would. I disagree. Because there's one thing that we've learned about Magic is that he understands how to work the public, and he probably understands this isn't a good look for anybody involved, right?
And
he,
maybe Magic is the one person who LeVar would like listen to on something like that.
That's where I'm going on that. I don't think it would be like Pelinka or any like random PR spokesperson for the team. I don't think that would do anything. But if Magic kind of just. It doesn't even have to be like a long conversation. It's just like, hey, dude, just cool it when you're talking about guys either on or around the actual Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, I don't know that, like, I think LeVar just gets carried away sometimes. Like, I mean, I don't know that he necessarily had, like, malicious intent or is trying to get Luke Walton fired or anything like that. Like, I think he just, like, was talking about his kid and he went into dad mode. And, like, I think, like, this kind of stuff happens. I bet, other NBA parents wouldn't be as entertaining about it. They might not be as willing to talk to reporters, but I would imagine that like there are probably other players on the team who feel the same way about like their kids, because parents are only looking at their kid and what's best for their kid. And the coach has to look at the whole team. I say this as like a former youth coach who would get complaints from like every single parent about not playing their kid enough.
Well, yeah. Cause you kept on trying to run the triangle like in 2017. Or
Anthony, whatever. I was trying to teach them about basketball and life.
All right.
As I screamed at referees and got almost kicked out of the game one time.
we should wrap on the 50 Shades of Shea, which is really good.
Yes. So speaking of coaching, we do have a 50 Shades of Shade, and it is Nick Young talking about what it's like to be coached in Golden State versus potentially like other situations where he's been coached. And so he, Nick Young, he told Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group now. Yeah, I think that's the official Bay Area News Group. It's great for a coach to talk to you and let you know where you're at and not keeping you in the dark. Like some coaches I know, Young said, I'm not just going into the game blindsided. He pretty much talks to me every day, harps me on me on everything I need to do in different situations. So I have no idea who he's referencing there. Like, I think Nick Young thinks that he's a Locked On Lakers co-host and he's going to get fined for mentioning a certain coach's name.
I thought it was tremendous that as soon as that tweet went up, everybody understood who Nick Young was talking about.
I mean, no, yeah, he's talking about Luke Walton, who like allowed him to have a career year.
So where would you say this? Is this a 50 out of 50?
This is a 50 out of 50 just because like it's actual shade. Like he doesn't say anybody's name. Like he could theoretically, like if the coach called him up and that was very close.
That was really close.
If the coach called him up and said, you know, like, Nick, like, what's up? Like, why did you say this about me? He'd be like, oh, no. I was talking about, like, a youth league coach that I had.
Does Nick have kids? He has to have kids, right?
Yeah, Nick has kids. They're adorable. They're on his, like, Gilbert Arenas made his son cry on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, he could be talking about one of his kids, you know, youth team coaches.
Yeah, true. He could. So. He could not be talking about a guy whose name rhymes with Lyren.
Schmyren Schmott.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm also going to give it a 50 out of 50 and say that I cackled. I laughed out loud.
That was hilarious. And what's funny is that I've heard Nick say stuff like this in the locker room, like not being recorded and stuff. Like his reaction to being shown the cover of Byron Scott's book on leadership was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in the Lakers locker room. He just like doubled over laughing and just kind of like ran out of the room.
What was the name of the book was called Winning or something, right?
It was like Winning in All Aspects of Life or something like that. Like, oh, hold on, I'm gonna look this up.
I'm looking it up too.
So it was something about like winning like on the court and in the boardroom or something like that.
Yeah, slam dunk success.
Oh my
leading
God.
From every position on and off the court, I think.
And in the tank.
Amazing. And in what is it?
By the tank commander.
Yep, exactly. I've blacked out. All right, so shouts to Nick Young for bringing back 50 Shades of Shade.
So we are going to have a new segment on this podcast that we are not going to debut today, but you guys can nominate things to us if you tweet them at us or send them in the iTunes reviews. Mm-hmm. Anthony, I have amnesty to say it since it's the name of the segment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, so the new segment is, would we get mad at Byron Scott for saying this? And we are going to use it to evaluate Luke Walton post-game press conference quotes, because there was one last week about them not trying to shoot threes that I thought was maybe worth discussing at some point.
Mm-hmm. We will definitely get to that. And
so if he does stuff like that, like I promise you guys, we're trying to be as objective as possible here.
Right. There's a couple things out there. So like Harrison said, if you find headlines and quotes from Luke that, you know, remind you a little too closely of the coach who preceded him, make sure you send those to us in those iTunes reviews with a 5-star review, and we promise we'll get to them as soon as we possibly can.
We are equal opportunities backseat coaching criticizers.
Absolutely. To my own detriment, I guess, according to my mentions at all times.
Yes.
All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. As always, you can find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, TuneIn, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and the Lakers Outsiders. I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.